Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
I started playing out with a candy bar. I thought, okay, simple shape, this could work. And then Lisa walked by, said, you know, moms are going to be mad if you make their kids fall in love with candy bars. And I thought, oh, she's right. Okay, well, what wouldn't moms be mad about their kids falling in love with? And the next thing that popped into my head was a cucumber, and VeggieTales was born.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, he's the man behind the vegetables that have impacted the lives of millions of children and families worldwide. But his own story is filled with many scenes that did not have the happiest of endings. Well, I'm talking about Phil Vischer. He is the man who helped bring Bob the tomato and Larry the cucumber to life. In only a matter of a few years, his VeggieTales characters went from relative obscurity to being the best-selling animated video series of all time. And now the man who used singing vegetables to teach life lessons to kids has a new passion, and this time it involves jellyfish. Well, today on Homeward, Phil Vischer is with me in studio. We're going to be talking about his spiritual journey, dreams, God, and talking vegetables. Also, we'll be talking about Jelly Telly. It's a positive media experience for kids, and it's great. So stay with us, because Homeward starts right now.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, getting ready for a great day of broadcasting here today, and it's always fun to visit with Phil Vischer. Phil is the co-creator of the VeggieTales franchise, which your kids obviously love. Phil also has a family connection here with us at Homeward. His brother-in-law, Dean Brunt, has been a part of the Homeward family for years and years, and so it's always fun to get together with Phil, if nothing more, just to hear new stories about Dean. No, just kidding. Today we're going to revisit a conversation we've had with Phil in the past about a story of God and dreams and talking vegetables, and I'll also talk about his Jelly Telly experience that's now available online. You're going to learn more about that during the next half hour. Wholesome media that can influence your kids for the kingdom. Here's part one of today's conversation with Dr. Jim Burns.
She said, yes, it is, but we're closed now. But we open tomorrow at 10. He said, I am extremely hungry, but I guess I can wait until then. 'Cause you're his cheeseburger, his yummy cheeseburger. He'll wait for you, ooh, yeah, he'll wait for you.
Well, you've just been listening to some vegetables talk and sing. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome to Homeward. A very special day here on Homeward today. Phil Vischer with us. As a 25-year-old computer animator, Phil Vischer sat down and he created a group of characters that all of us know. They could teach values to kids, and they were Bob the Tomato, Larry the Cucumber, and many others. Talking vegetables, can you believe it? Well, VeggieTales went on to revolutionize, in my opinion, filmmaking, selling more than 40 million videos. And actually, Phil's story is playing in one out of every three American households. Phil lives with his wife, Lisa, and their three children in Illinois. He's written a wonderful book, and I told him I've read it twice, and I actually cried in the book, and I'm not sure you're supposed to cry in the book, but it's called Me, Myself, and Bob, A True Story About Dreams, God, and Talking Vegetables. Phil Vischer, welcome.
Hi, good to be here. Thanks
for having
me.
Great to be with you, and as we've talked before, your sister is married to our vice president, Homeward, so I feel somewhat related, been in grandpa's home, and know your mom, and passed by, said hi to your dad, so I kind of feel part of the Vischer family. It's great to be with you.
Yep, and I've been keeping track of Homeward since before it was Homeward. So
that's exactly right. Now, you grew up in a very religious family.
Yes.
And you love to build things, and at one early age, you kind of realized something remarkable. You were funny. I mean, what was Phil Vischer like growing up as a child, somebody who would even create these veggie
tales?
Yeah,
I was immensely shy. My dad was very bashful when he was a kid, too, and I'm a lot like my dad. And so I would sit in the back of class, and I would just think odd thoughts, My brain was just wired a little differently, and I would look at normal things, but in a weird way, and it would make me chuckle. And eventually, I got bold enough to share some of these weird thoughts, and the people around me started laughing, too. And I realized, I think I might be funny. And that was really interesting, because I was so shy that I didn't really know how to approach people, but I discovered that if I made them laugh, then they smiled at me.
Isn't that amazing? Now, you grew up in Muscatine, Iowa. I'm not even sure I know where
Iowa was. Bustling metropolis.
Two strong smells there.
Yes, two overpowering smells. One was the Heinz ketchup plant right in the middle of town, which smelled vinegar whenever they were processing ketchup. And the other was the Kent Feed plant on the south side of town, which smelled, I don't even know what it smelled of, but it just shocked me that something that animals were supposed to eat smelled so terrible while they were making it. And those two smells kind of bookended our fair city.
Your wonderful city. Now, Heinz ketchup, and now there's Bob the tomato.
Yeah, you think anything? There might be something there. It was funny because now they use tomato paste to make ketchup. They don't actually buy tomatoes anymore. Back then, they bought tomatoes, you know, and so trucks full of tomatoes would come through the streets of Muscatine, and whenever it was harvest time, the streets would just be littered with little smashed tomatoes that bounced out of the backs of the trucks. And if that had any influence on my future life, I have no idea. We can only speculate.
Isn't that fascinating? A strong, strong family faith heritage. What was it like growing up in such a strong faith heritage? I mean, we're talking grandpas and grandmas.
Yeah, my great-grandfather was a radio preacher who went on the air in Omaha, Nebraska in 1923, literally the year after radio was commercialized in the U.S., and preached every Sunday morning on the radio until he died in 1963. Or 64. At that point, it was the oldest, longest-running radio show in America. So my mother was playing the piano live on the radio when she was 5 years old, accompanying her little brother, who was singing solos at age three. Okay, so it was kind of, it was somewhere between, you know, Pat Robertson and the Osmonds. It was just this kind of weird showbiz religious family, and I liked it, and it was a great heritage, and I loved, you know, when I got to be up in front as one of the grandkids or the great-grandkids of, you know, R.R. Brown. Right. But there was another side to it that kind of started to affect me, which was because everyone was up in front all the time, you know, talking about this impressive missionary or this impressive businessman who wrote this impressive check to support world missions. My faith kind of became about what you can do, you know, what you accomplish, how much impact you can have. Right. And it was pretty clear that, you know, unless you were in full-time ministry, preferably carrying the gospel to an unreached people group, you know, preferably one that might eat you if you looked at them cross-eyed, that you really weren't doing very much.
Right.
You know, and you really ought to get up and get out. And so I defined my faith by how much I accomplished. You know, and that really affects you.
Sure. You know, I think it affects families today in a big way as well. Now, here's this amazing faith. You were one of these guys. I read in your book, Me, Myself, and Bob, that you said, you know, you were a good kid. You didn't smoke. You didn't drink or at least taste alcohol until you went to Bible college. I'm not sure that was supposed to be funny, but I laughed at that.
Yeah, we won't dive into that
too much. You came from a family that had this amazing rich heritage, but there was a moment in that family when it began to fall apart and Dad packed his bags and left. And you said you're a lot like Dad, and you were surprised at that.
Yeah, I love my dad to pieces, and we're still close. And he was an advertising executive, very creative, a storyteller, you know, so he was writing ad copy. He was shooting TV commercials in Baja, Mexico for this tire company. And when I was, and this is from Muscatine, Iowa, you know, small town Iowa. So when I was 7 or 8 years old, I created my own fictitious tire company so I could lay out my own ads, you know, just like my dad's. You know, I just worshiped the guy. And he bought me Legos and puppets, and we, you know, did creative things together. And then one day I was 9 years old, and he came downstairs with a suitcase in his hand and kissed me on the forehead and walked out the door. And my life just split in two halves. There was the before my dad left, you know, and the after my dad left. And I knew that, you know, I knew that my parents weren't smiling at each other very much. I saw that. So I knew that whatever this marriage thing was, that it was hard.
Right.
You know, apparently it was hard work. But what I saw was I saw my dad look at that hard work. And then I saw him look at me, and I saw him decide it wasn't worth it. Yeah. You know, and somewhere inside, I took this message that I wasn't worth it. You know, that I wasn't worth the hard work, that I wasn't worth hanging around for. And that message that I internalized affected, you know, almost every decision I made for the next 20 years of my life. It was just incredibly powerful.
Yeah, it is amazing how something like that can be powerful, both for a negative side, but also sometimes a good side. Perhaps it brought you to a different place so that you could create these talking vegetables that, you know, 40 million households.
It influenced me in a lot of ways, many of them negative, although one was that I wanted to show in all my stories dads that hung around. Hmm. You know, and people actually said, well, why doesn't Junior's mom spend more time teaching Junior things? Why is it always his dad? You know, and if you know my story, you know exactly why that is. Because I want to model that. I want to show dads that hang around and are actively involved in their kids' life.
What a privilege. Phil Vischer with us, the creator of Veggie Tales, also Jelly Telly, and Roger's going to talk more about that.
Yeah, actually, go to philvischer.com. You can. We've got a link set up on our website today at homeward.com. Go to the radio broadcast section, hit that tab. It'll take you to today's program lineup, and then Phil's name is hotkeyed, which means that you can click right over to philvischer.com, and it's V-I-S-C-H-E-R.com, and learn more about Jelly Telly and what's in the Bible and Buck Denver and that whole series, which is so powerful in helping to instruct young children and us, their parents, into the Bible basics, the things that if you watch VeggieTales, the assumption is that you know all the Bible stories. Buck Denver takes you into the heart of this and gives kids that grounding that they may not have gotten the first time around. So it's a very, very encouraging process that he's engaged in with the puppets. So go to philvischer.com, or if you need a link to that, you can go to homeward.com. More from Dr. Jim Burns in just a moment.
Public school or private? The debate over which is better has been going on for some time now among Christian parents. What's interesting about it to me is the fact that there really is no easy answer. However, I want to encourage you to keep doing all you can to make sure your son or your daughter gets the best education possible. By the time your kids reach college, well, they're going to feel their faith put to the test. And that's where their moral character is really going to shine through, but only because you've laid that foundation for them during their childhood years. Well, the problem of morality has never been one of intellect, because even highly intelligent people can also be immoral. Morality is a matter of the heart that's also a problem of the will. So don't back off teaching your kids standards of morality. Remember, as parents, we're accountable to God for what we teach our children. Well, for a free copy of my tip sheet called 10 Things Every Child Can't Not Know, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. What a great conversation today with Phil Vischer. He's the creator of VeggieTales, now doing Jelly Telly. We're going to talk more about that in a bit. An incredible conversation of a young man who actually was watching MTV and said, you know what, we can do something good with this thing. MTV got started by Robert Pittman, who said, we're not creating a youth music channel, we're creating a youth culture. And that's exactly what was happening. But also at the same time, they were teaching us how to do media differently. And here we have Phil today, who has influenced 40 million people with videos, actually more than 40 million. There's 40 million videos. Pretty incredible. Now, Phil, kind of going through your story, somewhere after actually dropping out of Bible college.
Yeah.
Okay. There's with an emphasis on dropping out, you moved to Chicago, and you thought Chicago was a pretty good thing, except for two muggings and various other car break-ins and things like this. Parking was a nightmare, but you said Chicago was fun.
Yeah.
So you moved to Chicago to do what?
I'd gotten a job. This is after I kind of dropped out of Bible college, and I was kind of asked not to return for a third semester or for a fourth semester. So I came back with my new friend, Mike Naraki, and we started playing around with puppets in Bible college. We met on the puppet team and got into video production.
At the same time, there was this girl in your life, Lisa, and you guys were having a little bit of a distance relationship.
Yes.
She wasn't in Chicago.
Yes, I met my wife at my great-grandfather's Bible conference in Northwest Iowa. Okaboji Lakes Bible Missionary Conference.
I have been there.
Oh, that's amazing. I'll be there. I'll be there in a few weeks, actually. It's coming up again. But I met her there, and we started making up songs on the dock down by Lake Okoboji, and she could make up songs just like I could. And I thought, well, that's the coolest thing. You know, we both make up songs, and we ended up talking on the phone a lot. She was from Minneapolis. I was in Chicago at the time. She was headed to Wheaton College, who knew as a music major. Turns out she had an inner junior asparagus, and as I started making this show, we'd just been married, and she said, hey, can I audition for a voice? I think I could do that little asparagus kid. And I said, oh, this is a disaster, having to audition my wife, my new wife, you know, and then tell her she's not good enough. Right. This is fraught with peril. Turns out she was good enough, and she's been Junior Asparagus ever since.
But at the same time, she was one of the main reasons that you have vegetables and nuts and candy.
Yes. I started playing around. I was doing computer animation in Chicago at the time, and I needed really simple characters because this was, you know, 1990, 89, 90, very early, you know, 5 years before Toy Story. Couldn't afford to do complex, limbed, furry, you know, things. I needed something that was naked, bald, and limbless. That's what I needed. And so I started playing around.
I'm not naked or limbless, but I've got the head for you.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll leave that one to you. I started playing around with a candy bar. I thought, okay, simple shape, this could work. And then Lisa walked by, you know, we'd been married less than a year, said, you know, moms are going to be mad if you make their kids fall in love with candy bars. And I thought, oh, she's right. Okay, well, what wouldn't moms be mad about their kids falling in love with? And the next thing that popped into my head was a cucumber, and VeggieTales was born.
Yeah, VeggieTales. Phil Vischer.
Always listen to your wife.
Absolutely. That's a great comment here, and we should say that more often on Homeward. Phil Vischer, the creator of VeggieTales, our guest today. God made you special, and he loves you very much. I mean, that's pretty much a core message.
Yep. Yep, that was really what we were trying to get across with VeggieTales. And I have my mother to thank. My mother is a doctor of Christian education, teaches at Wheaton College. And so before I started, you know, I didn't want to get into trouble theologically. I didn't want to offend, you know, Pentecostals or Baptists or Catholics, you know, or anyone. And she had spent a lot of time dealing with different churches and knew the sensitivities of different, you know, denominations. So I said, okay, Mom, I'm going to do this thing with kids and vegetables and as Christian. And, you know, what's important? And she said, rule number one, you will not portray Jesus as a vegetable. And I thought, oh, yeah, that's probably wise. rule number two, you will not imply that vegetables go to heaven when they die, that a vegetable can have a redemptive relationship with Jesus. And I thought, oh, boy, this is trickier than I thought, because you see all these Christian puppet shows where Mr. Lion becomes a Christian, right, you know, and meets Jesus. And it's like, well, okay, what are we actually telling our kids, you know, when the paper bag accepts Christ? Okay, so the vegetables can't accept Christ. So whenever Bob talks about God's love, he talks about God's love for kids, that God loves kids and God saves kids. You know, not God loves us because he's an inanimate object, theoretically. Yeah. It's tricky. And then the final one she said was, the most important thing is you want to tell kids as often as you can how special they are and how much God loves them.
Right.
And I thought, oh, okay, well, then we need some kind of closing saying, you know, like Mr. Rogers would do. Something Mr. Rogers would do to remind kids about God's love. And I thought, okay, God made you special, and he loves you very much. And I decided that's really, you know, if they don't get the lesson about thankfulness or the lesson about forgiveness or the lesson about kindness, if we can lay this foundation of you are special and you are loved by God who made you, you know, that we can build on that for their whole life ahead of them. And that became the core message of VeggieTales.
That's an incredible message too, by the way. Now, along the way, you sold 40 million videos. What were some of the lessons you learned there?
I learned that you never know when something's going to work and when it isn't going to work. And when it seems like it's not going to work, that may be the time it's about to start working. I learned to not let early success get you too excited. And it's dangerous to assume that if your first idea works, that all your ideas will work. I learned so many lessons. I had to write a book, frankly, and I can't fill them all, you know, bring them all up right now and summarize them easily. But it was so much fun to watch God work. But suddenly, you know, I was so young, and suddenly we went from, we're starving artists and we're just having the time of our life, and this is fun, and we're barely eating, but that's okay, because, you know, we're all in our 20s. To, okay, now I've got 40, 50 employees, and now money is starting to come in, you know, and now what do you do with it? How do you grow, you know? And so, and I got scared. It was fun when we had no money. Suddenly we had lots of money because we were selling millions of videos, and then it was terrifying because I thought, okay, God gave me this amazing, incredible opportunity, and I'm going to blow it, you know, because I dropped out of Bible college. I should have gone to Harvard Business School. I should have read all the right books. I am just going to make a mess of this thing. And I panicked, and I started bringing in other people, you know, to kind of take over, and older people that looked like they knew what they were doing or worked at an impressive place, you know, and brought a team together and kind of let go of the wheel. And said, you know, I'm just a kid. I just got lucky. Here, you guys run this. And that turned out to kind of be the beginning of the end. Because in essence, what I'd done was give up my leadership and handed the steering wheel to others and stopped trusting that God would help me do this. And it was at that point that we really grew out of control. We went from 30 people to 150 people in 18 months. We started, we gave away 400,000 free VeggieTales videos at the grand openings of Target stores, you know, and malls across the country. We spent just millions and millions of dollars kind of chasing something that we really weren't, you know, which was, we weren't Barney, you know, we weren't Disney. We were a Christian video series, but we were trying to be so much, you know, to see how far we could push it that we really ended up turning it upside down and breaking it entirely in about 18 months.
Isn't that something? Now we don't have much time left, but if you could kind of summarize, then we're going to talk next time, of course, about the continuing story and in many ways about some of the issues of surrender that you had to go through. But if you could summarize it through this process, this incredible ride that we've been talking about and only kind of talking about part one today, what have you learned? There's a different Phil Vischer sitting across from me than a number of years ago.
Right.
What happens?
I was obsessed with the notion of doing as much as I could, as fast as I could, and that was the key to God's love for me, for my acceptance among others, for my self-identity. You know, my identity was how much can I do and how fast can I do it? And it was killing me. It was affecting my health. It was affecting my marriage. It was affecting my kids, my employees. I was dragging them all along on this ride so furiously and quickly, you know, that people were falling off the wagon left and right because it was just going too fast. And I was doing it because I thought that's what God wanted, you know, that God's call on us was to do as much as we could, as fast as we could. And it wasn't until I could slow down, well, really until I lost it all, found myself sitting in the back of a bankruptcy courtroom, you know, in 2003, watching everything that I had built in 14 years, you know, get packed up in a box and sold at a public auction. And it wasn't until I lost it all that I was finally quiet enough to say, okay, God, what did I wrong here? And that was just an amazing journey of being stripped bare and of God speaking into my life and realizing that he didn't let it fall apart because he didn't love me, but actually because he loved me so much. You know, and he wanted to save me from myself, from my ambition. And that led to a whole process, you know, that we can talk about later of releasing, you know, letting go your ambition, of really realizing what Paul meant when he said, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. What does it mean to die for Christ when Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me? You know, my first thought is, where are we going? I hope it's fun. No, what he's saying is we're going to die. When you pick up your cross, you know, in first century Palestine, you are going to be executed. That's what he's saying. It's the weirdest invitation ever given to a large crowd of people. Let's go die together. But that's where Christianity starts, with letting go. And that's what no one ever taught me how to do. I was grabbing and holding and, you know, pursuing the American dream mixed with the Protestant work ethic mixed with the gospel of Jesus Christ, which I think, you know, many of us are pursuing, that if I wish upon a star and if I put my faith in Jesus, all my dreams will come true and nothing bad will ever happen. And that's not what it's about.
You know what? I'm glad you said that. Phil Vischer, you got to come back. We got to continue this story.
I'll be happy to.
What a privilege. You know, God made you very special and he loves you very much. And that's the message today. God loves you not for what you do, but for who you are. And that's what we've been talking about today, along with an incredible, compelling story. And there's going to be more on it.
In part two of our conversation, which will be on the next edition of the Homeward Broadcast, we'll continue this discussion with Phil Vischer, the co-creator of VeggieTales. Actually, we've got three programs in a row on terrestrial radio lined up for Phil. The first two, of course, talking about Jelly Telly and the Big Ideas situation and his biography, Me, Myself, and Bob. And then in part three of the conversation, my conversation with Phil about the launching of What's in the Bible and what a great series that has been. You'll find links to all things Phil Vischer, who is a part of the Homeward family. His brother-in-law, Dean Bruns, has been a part of Homeward for many, many years. If you want to learn more about Phil Vischer, you can check him out at philvischer.com. We have a link on our website today at homeward.com.
I really am inspired by what he has done to promote family values and the biblical worldview in this culture, and just great, great stuff. In the closing moments of today's program, I want to camp out on a point that came up earlier in our conversation today. It's one of the reoccurring themes in the VeggieTales series, and I appreciate this so much. It's on passing on a legacy of faith. And one of the ways that I'm telling people to do that is to make sure that they practice what I call the power of being there for our kids, because studies show that kids view your very presence in their lives as a sign of caring and connectedness. So let's make sure that we do practice that power of being there with them. It'll go a long way toward building a spiritual legacy that I think is going to pass on faith from generation to generation.
Absolutely. And faith conversations for families are so very, very important. And it's something that we as parents can be more intentional about. Actually, we need to be intentional. The culture is not reinforcing biblical values. So it's up to us to be the ones who are the standard bearers for that. Dr. Jim Burns' book, Faith Conversations for Families, will help you do that and take those strides that you need to take. And if you'd like information on how to get a copy, actually, you can order it directly from our online resource center. The book is available wherever Christian books are sold, but if you go to homeward.com, you'll find Faith Conversations for Families by Dr. Jim Burns. You can purchase it directly from our online resource center, and when you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry, tax deductible to you, extremely beneficial to us. We rely on your prayers and faithful financial support. You can order online at homeward.com or write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.